Hey guys, it's 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. It's time to hang out again. Excited to be with you tonight. Excited to speak to you again. I really enjoyed Sunday morning and that opportunity. I'm just thankful to be able to hang out with you guys in church on Sunday morning. This week we're going to be talking about, the title is a single word, nevertheless. And that word's been coming up so many times in my prayer life lately, and just seems like recurring on my mind, the word nevertheless. And tonight we're going to talk about that, what it means, and how we can apply it to our lives, and some scripture that goes along with that to try to help us through some difficult times. So before we start, we'll pray again like we normally do, and you guys pray with me today. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to speak your word. I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to be the mouthpiece for what you've given me this week. And I pray that I would be able to speak it in a way that makes sense and articulate it in a way, God, that can be used and can be applicable to people's lives. Just that hear this, and just to help further the kingdom, God. That's the ultimate goal, is to reach people for you and just to do what you would have us do. God, I'm thankful for this church and for our church family, and pray that you would just continue to minister to the needs of our church and the family that we have individually, God, and corporately, that you continue to lead us in the direction that you would have us go. And God, I pray that you would just help us to be that light in the community, God, that beacon of hope, God, to those around us who need something, they're just not sure what. And I pray that we would be just an avenue that they could find to get to you. We thank you for all that you are and your blessings that you give us every day. Pray that you just continue to help us with that. And God, like I said, just help me stay out of the way tonight and you speak through me. That's in your name I pray. Amen. So, like I said, the last few weeks I've had the word nevertheless on my heart and on my mind. And about 2 weeks, two weeks ago, I put the word in my phone and started it on my notes, and just I got the word nevertheless done, and that was it. And as I just kind of began to turn it over in my mind and turn it over in my spirit and just try to figure out what God was trying to tell me in that, I began to try to define that myself. And what does that mean for me? What does the word nevertheless mean? And in my mind, it would mean to continue on in spite of, or even when, even if. It comes across to me most of the time in, you know, the language we use as kind of an exasperated statement. It's kind of that thing we get to when we've got that big, deep breath, and it's, nevertheless. And I knew this was from God because I don't say this word very often. I don't know that it's in my common vocabulary at all. I'm honestly too lazy to say it. I'll find my Kentucky comes out, and I'll find an easier way to get across what I'm trying to say. But as I began to turn it over in my mind, I started thinking about some scripture that the word nevertheless showed up in. And tonight we're going to look at three scriptures and hopefully begin to explore the word nevertheless. And I hope to make it 3D for you, and you'll understand that here shortly. But to realize that there are times in our life where it's just difficult. And for whatever reason, no matter what the season is, maybe it's that we're doing our job, we're doing everything we're supposed to do, but times are just, you just get tired, and you just get wore out, and you just feel like there's no fruit for your labor or anything like that, and you just get worn out with it. And tonight I want to help you maybe find some encouragement in that and look at some scriptures here to help us in those nevertheless moments in our life. So, talking about making that word 3D, we're going to talk about three different scriptures and jump into how they can help us. And the first scripture tonight is in Galatians 2:20. And the scripture says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When I begin to think about this, I begin to think about the first phrase of that verse. Right before that first semicolon, it says, I am crucified with Christ. And I thought about how important it is that we begin to understand that. And it takes on, to me, the D in this point would be the death to the flesh. And what happens a lot of times when I'm in those nevertheless moments in my life where I feel like I've got to carry on. I've got to keep going. Nevertheless, I've got to pick up and go on. I feel exasperated because I've allowed my flesh to become overgrown. And when I think about that, a lot of times in my life, I think about my heart becoming calloused. And I think about it, you know, when you get a callus on your palm, it over time it gets thicker and it gets harder and it separates the outside of your skin from the supple tissue underneath. And when I have those times in my life where I just feel like maybe I don't know how I'm going to do it tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to do the same thing day after day after day. I just don't know if I can keep going. I just don't know if I can keep doing the right thing over and over and over. I tend to succumb to the issues of the flesh. And what happens is I don't pay attention to that becoming overgrown. And what that does is that begins to separate us in our relationship with God. When we allow our flesh to become overgrown, when we allow our heart to be calloused, it separates us from Him in a way that He's not able to speak to us like He normally would. And so the first D in getting through the nevertheless times in our life would be making sure we're dying to the flesh. We're crucified with Christ. And then recognizing that nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me. And what's cool about that is when we begin to get enough of ourself out of the way, we're crucified with Christ, we crucify that flesh and we get it out of the way, we give God a spot to live in again. We give God a spot to reside in our heart again. And I think it's so critical, and you know, I fail to do this a lot of times. I'll get busy in my life and I'll get focused on things, and they could be good things, they could be church things, they could be holy things, but they begin to just be things, and things get in my way, and then it takes my focus off of God, and I don't remember to say, hey God, help me get this stuff out of my way. God, help me get Logan out of the way. Logan's getting big in this again in our relationship. There's not enough Jesus and there's too much Logan here. I feel exasperated. I feel like I just don't know how I'm going to make it. Keep going. And I'm reminded in Galatians 2:20 that he says, Paul is talking about being crucified with Christ. And when we begin to crucify that flesh and we begin to excise those calluses off, we're reminded of how tender and how supple that tissue is underneath those calluses. And that's what God wants to work with. That's the moldable tissue. That's the workable clay that He wants to use in our lives. And so if I could encourage you in that point, it would just be to remember to, on those times where you just feel like, man, it's just tough. Man, I don't know how to do it. The first thing to do would be to check and say, is my flesh overgrown? Am I in good standing with God? Do I feel like my relationship is chest to chest again? Do I feel like I'm right there next to Him? Can I hear Him whisper, or does He have to holler at me? And if it feels like He's got to holler at you, or you got to holler at Him to get His attention because He's so far away, maybe it's time to get a little bit of you out of the way. I know a lot of times that's difficult to hear and difficult to do because we get caught up in ourselves. We're kind of wired as humans after Adam's sin to pursue that. And it's difficult to counteract that. It's like swimming upstream sometimes. But when we make that effort and we ask God to help us with that, He's able to get that out of the way for us. So the first thing in those times in our life where we feel like the word nevertheless, God's saying nevertheless, come on, man, nevertheless, even though, even if, even when, in spite of, you're exasperated, you're worn out, but nevertheless, man, keep going. Keep going. That would be the first one, is to make sure we're dying to the flesh. Make sure we're crucifying that flesh every day. And the next scripture I've thought about was in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, and this is in the King James Version. They tend to use this word more, and that's how I memorized scripture when I was younger, was the King James Version. And so this says, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And this is when Jesus shows up and he's talking to Simon, which would later be Peter. And he's telling him, man, he says, hey, won't you throw your net on the other side of the boat? That's what he tells him, and paraphrasing, of course. That's the Logan version there. Throw it on the other side of the boat. And Peter and his guys have been fishing all night long. And they, you know, I mean, these guys do, they fish for their job. They know how to fish. If they're not catching fish on one side of the boat, it's obvious that you throw your net on the other side. I'm sure they had done that. But when he hears that word, he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And what he did is he followed the word of Jesus. He followed the word of God. He obeyed what Jesus said. And that showed me that he had a desire to follow the word. And what that did for him, it allowed him to see abundance. Whenever they did that, man, they pulled it in. The nets were breaking. It was a big deal. They had all kinds of fish. They worked all night long to try to get something. They hadn't gotten anything at all. But when they had a desire to follow the word of God, that's when they saw their abundance. That's when they saw the increase. And I know in my life, there's been so many times where if I forsake the reading of the word, or if I forget to read my Bible, or for some reason I just don't do it because I'm lazy. I feel like I'm toiling, I'm working, I'm driving, I'm trying my best to get the good things done. I'm doing my job, I'm doing my things for the church, I'm doing all this stuff, but I forget to read the word of God. I forget to seek out what God would say to me. And I go to Him and I got all these things I'm trying to tell Him. Blah, 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 blah. This is going wrong. This is rough. God, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. There's no way I'm ever going to deal with this. And He's just like, "Nevertheless, Logan, keep going. Nevertheless." And this scripture reminds us tonight that when we follow the Word and we have that desire to follow the Word of God, it becomes our sustenance in those times. The Word of Life is described as the bread of life. It's described as something that keeps us sustained. And like I said, that sustenance that keeps us going. It's something we can rely on. It can be that strength we need to help us stand up in difficult times. But it requires a desire to seek it out and a desire to follow it. And you know, in the scripture in Psalms that we're reading this week, I believe it's was 16 through 30 something. 33 to 48. I was last week, sorry. So David's recounting all that stuff, and he talks about how good it is to rely on those precepts and how good it is that God has put these statutes in place and how comforting that is, because he has a desire to follow those things. And when we have a genuine desire to follow those precepts and what seems like rules to the world, when we have a desire to seek those out and follow the word of God, God provides increase. God provides that abundance. God provides, He fills our cornucopia. He fills our fish nets. And it begins to feel like that oasis in those desert times. But there's so many times in our life we forget about reading the Word of God. We pray, we go to church, we try to sing our songs, we keep our radio on 88.5 or our Sirius XM channel, The Message. We keep them on those things and we try to do all those things, but we're not ingesting the Word. And if we don't have that desire for the Word of God, there's something about the Word of God. It's alive. It's powerful. Every time I read it, I can read the same scripture 2 months apart, and one day it'll say this to me, and the next thing God will tell me this through it. It's so important for us to have a desire to seek out and follow the Word of God. And that desire is what's going to help us find increase in those times in our life where we just feel like, there's no way. I'm not going to do it. There's no way. And another time I thought about was in Luke chapter 22, verse 42 in the King James. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And this reminded me of Jesus and his dedication to the cause. And what that meant for us was he would, in that moment, in that time in his life, he was at a nevertheless moment. It's okay to desire for our circumstances to be different. It's okay for us to want it to be easier. It's okay for us to have, we're human. It's okay for us to want it to be, want God to just totally take us out. But you also need to have enough dedication to the cause to say, "Nevertheless, at thy will." And that's what Jesus did. And then we know that going on from this, he went on to experience an enormous amount of pain and an enormous amount of suffering to be that ultimate sacrifice, that propitiation for our sins. But he showed us an awesome example about what dedication meant. And in that nevertheless moment in his life, man, he was in agony. He was praying, and we know that this is one of the time when he sweat drops of blood, and it was rough on him. He asked God, man, if there's any way this can be different, I'd love it. But if you can't, that's okay. Nevertheless, at thy will. Not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, he had a dedication to the cause. And friend, I just want to challenge you about your dedication to the cause. And I say that like I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me too. How dedicated are you? When times get tough, when you don't see results, when you don't see fruit, when you feel like you're just grinding and there's nothing there, how dedicated are you? Even if God doesn't change your circumstances, are you going to serve Him? Are you going to be like Job, or are you just going to quit? Are you going to keep going through it and recognize that God is the supreme authority and God is the one who's in control of everything? And no matter what, no matter how bleak, no matter how rough, no matter how dark, no matter how hopeless it seems, how dedicated are you to keep going? How dedicated are you to the cause that God has called us to do? To reach souls, to keep being what He called us to be, to keep being light in the darkness, to keep being hope to the hopeless, to keep being peace in turmoil. I know a lot of times I'm not that dedicated to it. A lot of times I find myself whining to God about why this can't change or why can't that change? Why can't it be easier? And He's just like, man, it's just not. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Sometimes the hard things are what create the greatest results. When we struggle through some pain, when we struggle through some heartache, when we struggle through some difficulty, on the end of that is when we get the greatest reward. So tonight, when I think about these things and we make the word nevertheless 3D, we talk about it being we talk about dying to the flesh again. We talk about the desire to follow the Word, and we talk about the dedication to the cause. It makes it 3D, right? And in those nevertheless moments, if we get to that point and we can follow those 3Ds, God allows us to literally be nevertheless. But if we don't, we'll always be the less. If we don't, we'll always be stuck in the bottom. My dad would say, lower in a snake's belly in a wagon track. We'll be way down like that. But if we begin to pursue God in these different ways, if we crucify our flesh, if we make sure that part of us is dying so that it gets out of the way, then we have that desire to follow the Word, and we get our sustenance and we fill ourselves with the Word of God and that bread of life that it is. And then we dedicate ourselves to the cause and we remind ourselves of that. God helps us to never be the less. He helps us to find that increase. And that's when we find that we begin to see the victory. And Brother Ron says all the time, you can't see victory in Jesus without a fight or a battle. We can't see the increase without knowing what decrease looked like. We can't see the abundance if we don't know what it's like to be poor. It's difficult sometimes. There's times in our life where it just feels like it's really hard. And there's times in our life where we just feel like, man, I can't do it. I can't keep doing this every day. I can't keep waking up and trying to do the same thing every day with no results. Let me remind you, nevertheless, don't think of that word as just a difficult word to say. Don't remove it from your nomenclature that you normally speak. Start saying it. Start talking about it. That's what I've done. I've tried to adopt it into my thoughts and into my life. And when I wake up in the morning and I find myself at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm just tired, I'm ready to quit for the day, I just say, man, nevertheless, Logan, think about it. Is it your flesh? Have you read the Word today? How dedicated are you to see souls saved? How dedicated are you to see the kingdom of God advance? And it helps me begin to reignite that ambition again and to say, yeah, it's not about me. It's about God, and it's about advancing His kingdom. And then at that point, we begin to praise and we begin to thank God for who He is, and we begin to talk about how wonderful He is, and He begins to show us those things again. When we get ourselves out of the way enough that we can see Him again, that's when we see that. I'd like to tell you that it's an on and off switch. I'd like to tell you that once you turn that nevertheless mindset on, it stays on. But it's like there's these little gremlins that come in, they flip your light switch off, and you've got to man, why do I feel this way? Oh, nevertheless, man, I got to die to that flesh again. I got to desire that word again. I got to be dedicated to the cause again. That's right. That's right. Let me turn that light back on. It takes recurring effort. And most things that we find success in take recurring effort in our lives. It's really difficult to be fit and only exercise one time. I'm sure there are people that can do that. God's probably blessed some people with that ability, but for most people, it's really difficult to just go to the gym one time and then you're the fittest person on earth. You can't do that. It's really difficult to read one book and be the smartest human ever. If you want to be the best and you want to find success in your life, we've got to be able to apply the effort over and over and over again. And that's what I want to encourage you to do tonight. I feel like it's a nevertheless time for the church. I feel like it's a time where we're at that crossroads of we're coming back, we're trying to get back in church, we're trying to open doors again, we're trying to make it right again, and it's tough. It's tough, man. We got used to the way things were. We got used to maybe how easy it was to miss church. We got how easy it was to forget about it for weeks on end. But God's calling us out again and saying, hey, I need some warriors here. I need some people who are going to pray with people. I need some people who are going to work with people and speak to people and minister to people again. Wake up. Wake up. And you're going to have those nevertheless times where just feel like there's no way. Man, I can't do it every day. I can't. You can. That's right. But when we begin to look at that word in 3D, like I said, it helps us to get through those times. Tonight is pretty short, pretty simple. But I feel like if we can adopt that idea and we begin to accept those as ways that we have to pursue life and we have to go about life, it'll allow us to create a bigger impact and it'll allow us to reach more people. Just got to get ourselves out of the way. We got to desire to follow that word, and we got to remember to be dedicated to the cause and to check how dedicated we are to that cause. So tonight, let's pray together and we'll talk about, we'll ask God to help us all do that. I'll pray for you. You pray for me too. God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that in those times in our life where we just feel like that it's tough, we're struggling, and taking every step, it feels like we've got 30 pounds of cement strapped to our boots. And every time we try to take a step, it's just heavy and it's just hard and it's just such a grind. That in those moments, we could have the awareness to stop. And you give us the awareness to say, oh, what's going on here? And then we begin to remember to get ourselves out of the way. We get our problems and our thoughts and our obstacles out of the way and remind ourselves that we need to decrease and you need to increase again to crucify that flesh, to die that, to kill that flesh and make sure there's death to it. And then, God, you remind us how important it is to ingest the word and how important it is that you speak to us through that. And in so many times in my life, God, you've revealed yourself to be so alive through the word of God. You've revealed yourself even in the weirdest pieces of scripture to remind me that, hey, I'm here, listen to me, I'm trying to talk to you. To have that desire to seek that out. And to, God, remember that it's about a dedication to the cause. When we got saved, it was about us for a little bit, but then it's about others. It's about what you did for us and how you were able to deliver us. But God, it's about how we extend that offer to others and how we begin to show what you did for us to the people around us. That dedication to the cause. And remind us, God, that's what it's all about. It's not about personal gain. It's not about personal success. God, it's about the gain in the kingdom of heaven. And it's about gain in seeing souls saved and lives changed and just how you can change the world through us. God, help us to be those instruments. Help us to be those things that you use to change the lives around us. Give us a desire, God, to seek you out in a way that maybe we never have before. In a drive, God, that can't be quenched. In a drive that can't be shut down and can't be switched off. God, that's so fervent. That's so, just so real and so driven to get to you and to do what you would have us do, that nothing could stop us. I'm excited about what you're going to do in our church, and God, just the church of the United States and of the world. I'm excited about it, and I believe that you're going to do great things, but God, I pray that you help us in the meantime. You help us in those nevertheless moments where it seems like it's tough, but you remind us those things. Pray that you would be with us this week. Help us to see you more than we have before. God, it's in your name I pray. Amen. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I hope it finds you well. I hope it was encouraging to you and to help you get through some difficult times in your life and to remember those things that help us to get through that. I'll be here next week, as far as I know. Roxanne says yes, we're going to have a business meeting for a couple weeks. So I'll be here next week. We'll hang out again. And I hope God helps and shows up with us. You guys have a great week. Thanks.